It's hard to believe, but we're already at episode 5 of the Making of a Lawn podcast. We're already in June. And on this episode, Chris and I talk about a mowing trick that I discovered while mowing my lawn the last time I did it that I was impressed. I impressed myself by. So I got Chris's opinion on that. We also talked about insects a lot this episode. The one insect that could absolutely destroy your lawn. We talk about that. And how to fight against them, how to prevent them. We talked a lot about Caddyshack. As a big golf fan myself, Caddyshack. A lot of turf management in Caddyshack. If you've seen the movie, if you've seen it a million times like I have. Chris, also a big fan, so we made a lot of Caddyshack references in this episode. And we got into the little competitive battle that I have with one of my neighbors. So here we go. Episode 5, Making of a Lawn podcast starts now. Hi, I'm Kevin Begley from Star 99.9, and this is Making of a Lawn, presented by Tiedem Brown. All right, here we go. Episode 5. I can't believe it's episode 5 already, Chris.
The time is flying.
It really is. I feel like we just started with my lawn applications, and now we're all the way almost to 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, I don't even know what we're going to talk about, because your lawn's looking so darn good at this point.
It really is.
It can only go downhill from here, I think.
So, welcome to episode 5. It's Kevin Begley, Making of a Lawn podcast. This has been so fun, by the way, doing this every couple weeks with you.
I'm having a blast. Once I retire, I think I might want to come in here and work as a professional podcaster.
Oh, there you go. You're always welcome.
I'm having so much fun with this. Yeah.
So Tiedem Brown and Chris, who runs Tiedem Brown, has been coming on, and we've been doing this podcast. And my lawn has been, there's been two applications put down already, and I did my most recent mowing because I noticed that it's growing a lot quicker now. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, than last year.
So all of a sudden I noticed it was so long again, and it had been, I don't know, a couple weeks, and I was like, it looks like a jungle. I need to mow this. So I mowed it, and there was two things I noticed. One was a new mulching trick. So I haven't been bagging the clippings.
Good.
Because, right, so that's better for the lawn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Now, the main reason why I didn't do that at first was because I didn't know where to put the clippings, because Milford doesn't let you put them in the dump, I guess, or to the station where you bring your trash. So I had no idea what to do with them. And we don't have like a woods behind us. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm just going to mulch them. And then and I guess that's better for it. But the problem I was running into was the clumping. So there was like the big clumps of grass. Mm-hmm. So I would try to rake it. But this time I mowed the whole lawn and it was really long. So there's a lot of clumps. And then I put the mower to like the highest setting so it wasn't so short, and then I just ran over the clumps again and it like chopped them up real quick, like smaller. And that seemed to help the clumping, and it sort of spread it out more.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's a wonderful way to handle it. The first thing I would tell you is don't let it get so long that you're
in these huge piles. That was the only thing. Because even the mower was like getting stuck at some points. I'm like, I can't let it go this long again.
If you need to use a machete, you've let the lawn go a little too long. Yeah.
Right.
So what you were doing with the grass clippings in terms of going back around and mowing them again, mm-hmm. Was a great way to handle that.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to bring up, this is one of the biggest misconceptions I've heard about grass clippings, is that people are afraid they are going to become thatch, that they're going to add to the thatch layer.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to go into a long, drawn-out explanation as to what thatch is.
Right.
But a little bit of thatch, it's one of those things. A little bit is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Too much is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have too much. And people are afraid that grass clippings will create too much thatch. They don't create thatch. They actually break down very quickly, and the nutrients that are in them get re-released into the soil for the grass to reuse again.
Huh.
So you're literally wasting money by getting rid of them.
Right. So it's almost like seed, right? Isn't it like if putting extra seed into it or no?
Well, it's not seed. Seed creates new plants.
Oh, right.
Where it just kind of releases the nutrients back into the ground again.
Yeah.
But they're literally about 90, I'd have to look up the numbers again, but it's 90-something percent water.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit of nutrients left. So you're just giving the lawn almost a very light fertilization.
Yeah.
Which is great. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, the one thing that I try to do is not have them clump, because I noticed that if they clump together like that and I don't do anything for a couple of days, they'll just turn brown. And it'll just look like I have a brown piece of grass on the lawn.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did notice that trick of like going back with the mower higher. So it doesn't cut the grass lower again. Mm-hmm. It just sort of chops them up and makes them really small and just, you know, spreads them apart. Mm-hmm. So I think that's my new trick going forward.
And we talked about mowing the 1/3 rule?
Yeah, is that the 3 inches of the blade?
You don't want to be cutting off more than one third of the length of the blade at any one time.
Right.
I'd even tell people, if it's growing like gangbusters and you have the time and energy, get out there and do it twice a week if you need to.
Yeah. Like, I let this last one go a little long, so I was like, I'm going to do it sooner the next time. Yeah.
I've done it myself. It tends to get very thinned out, and very often some of the worst lawns we see are the ones that are just mowed, and we'll get a call, hey, the lawn looks really bad, come take a look. We'll come out, we'll take a look, and you can see really quickly, oh, this got way too long, and they mowed it way too short.
Yeah.
And, yep, it's under horrible stress right now, so, you know, give it a week or two, it should bounce back, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you can get away with it. The grass is resilient, but the more you do it, the more stress you put it under, and the less good it's going to look in the summer, you know?
Right. Yeah. Now, the other thing is that when my wife and I moved into the house last May, so it's been just over a year since we lived there, the house directly behind us, that guy had the greenest lawn I've ever seen, and it looked so bad last year on our side.
Please tell me you're beating him now.
So we went to get ice cream the other day, and we were walking back, and my wife said, as we were walking down the street, because we can see our house from a distance, and she was like, look at the line, and there's a line in the grass, and she's like, I think ours is greener than his. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to create an enemy behind me now.
but more like a frenemy, right?
A frenemy, exactly. Yeah,
neighbors, it'll be good.
Right. A
little friendly competition.
Exactly.
That's what you got to do.
A little lawn competition, never hurt anybody. But yeah, so it's been great. It's been great, you know, and obviously we had more rain in May, so I'm sure that, April.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that helped a little bit with the greenness of it, but the lawn's looking awesome. So I think, you know, we have a couple more weeks to go until the big cookout party, so I think it's looking good for that.
Well, great. I guess we're done here. It's been fun. Thanks, man. Well, you know, let's hang around. Let's talk a little
bit. Yeah, exactly. I know we said last week we were going to talk this week about insects.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about bugs. Now, that's something that's always on my mind, too, when I'm mowing, because I'm like, so I wear long pants and long socks and eyewear and hat, because I'm worried about ticks, insects, bees, like anything that could be in, especially when the lawn's long like that, that could just like jump out and bite me.
Sure, yeah. So,
and also insects that could hurt the lawn too.
Well, absolutely. You know, the only ones to really be worried about, obviously bees, they hurt.
Yeah.
If you're not allergic to bees, not the end of the world if you get stung.
Right.
But you want to avoid it because it's never fun, absolutely. But ticks are the main thing you want to be careful about for yourself.
Yep.
Now, for the lawn, ticks and bees don't cause any problems on the lawn. So, typically speaking, we're not worried about trying to keep those under control. But chinch bugs and grubs are really the two primary insect pests of lawns up here in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of chinch bugs without remembering to that scene in the movie Caddyshack. Did you see Caddyshack?
Yeah.
You're not too young then, please.
No, I love Caddyshack. Okay. Also, remember,
it's timeless.
I'm a huge golfer, so it's one of my favorite movies, yeah.
Well, one of the funny things is that the character that Bill Murray played, Carl, was possibly the most insulting caricature of a golf course manager. He was the assistant superintendent in the movie, and me and all my friends going to school were training to get that job that he had.
Right.
In college. And
so the first time you saw that movie, you must have been like, this is so crazy.
Well, I saw the movie when you were younger. I actually got into it. So, but the funny thing is, all of us loved the movie Caddyshack. We thought it was the most hilarious movie, even though it was portraying essentially us as these complete morons.
Yeah.
And so it was a little bit insulting there, but it was funny. But at one point he talks in the movie about studying up on insects and things. He's like, and I'm not going to try to imitate his voice in the movie, but he talks about chinch bugs and all these things. Mm-hmm. And whenever he says chinch bugs, I just kind of chuckle because it's a real problem on grass. And what they do is they have essentially little syringes.
Huh.
It's called piercing, sucking mouth parts, where they actually just poke it into the crown of the grass, which is really the base where everything comes out of. The roots grow out of the crown. The leaves grow out of the crown. Mm-hmm. If you kill the crown, the grass dies.
Yeah.
Okay. And they poke these little needles into the crown, and they suck all the juices out.
Oh.
And then the whole plant pretty much dies off because it's dehydrated now.
And what are these called? Chinch bugs?
Chinch bugs, yeah.
Chinch bugs, okay.
Yep. And so they're pretty annoying. And they tend to come out when it's a little bit drier and a little bit hotter. They really thrive when it's hot.
Mm.
And part of the problem is that the damage tends to look just like drought stress, because it really is. The grass dried out because artificially these insects sucked the liquid out of them.
Yeah.
And they would have hung in there a lot better if they hadn't been there. So And they're really, really hard to see. They're
I was just gonna say, I was gonna say, what do they look like? But if they're too small, then you probably can't even notice, right?
Yeah, I actually have a very hard time seeing him. My partner, Peter.
Yeah.
For some reason, he seems to be like the chinch bug whisperer. he'll look at a lawn, and I'm going, maybe it's drought stress. Maybe, and he'll walk right over and get down on his hands and knees and spread his hands. And that, oh look, there's a million chinch bugs right there.
Oh like, wow.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Whereas I get down and look, and I have a hard time seeing them because they're that small. They just sometimes it's hard to focus and see them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they can be a real problem. And so to really keep the lawn under control, it's usually advisable to put something down to keep them under control. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different products that you can use for that. But yeah, looking for something to give you some control over chinch bugs as we get into the real heat of the summer can definitely help the lawn hang on a lot longer.
And then, so ticks obviously can be very harmful to humans, but Sure. Are they bad for the actual grass too?
No, they're not. They don't really cause any problems on the grass. They're fine there. You don't want them there just because the pets and the people walking
exactly.
around. Yeah, the one thing about ticks that I always found interesting is how many meals do you have a day?
Probably three with a dessert here and there.
It depends on what you count as a meal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, ticks have two meals in their entire life, and this is the life cycle that they go by. So the first meal is on a very small animal, usually a chipmunk or a squirrel,
yeah.
birds, that sort of thing, something really small. So when they're in that first life stage, they latch onto one of these animals, and they get fully engorged, and that's their meal, and then they drop off, and they hang out, and then they molt to the next life stage, and then they look for their second blood meal, which is on a larger animal like a deer or a dog or a human.
Huh.
Okay, so I'm sure most people who have dogs have pulled at least one or two ticks off of them if you live in Connecticut. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the second life stage. And once they drop off, they die at that point. They'll reproduce before they die, so the whole thing starts over again.
Right.
But once a tick is like engorged on your dog or something, that one is kind of no longer dangerous. It's on its last legs. It's having its final. It's not good for the dog, especially if it's carrying Lyme disease.
Right.
But you don't have to worry about dogs or deer or something bringing ticks into your yard all that much because of the fact that those ones are on their final life stage. It's the chipmunks and the little critters that are bringing the ticks in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where they're coming from. So,
wow, I never realized that.
Yeah, yeah. So you if you're trying to keep ticks out of your yard, treating the yard with something, there's organic and there's synthetic products that will keep it away, and we do offer those services for our customers, and they do a really good job. But ticks don't really reinfest like other insects do, where they're flying or they're crawling really quickly. They just kind of hang out and wait for animals to bring them around.
Yeah, yeah.
They just hitch a ride wherever they go.
They're the lazy insect.
Pretty much, yeah. And so when you have a lot of critters, chipmunks, field mice, squirrels running through your yard, those are the ones that are bringing the ticks in that are going to cause a problem.
Now, obviously, if your house backs up to woods or a swamp, or they're more prevalent there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Than if you're just like in the middle of a neighborhood that's not near the woods.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot more of those critters there.
Yeah, exactly.
That are carrying them around.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, what other type of insects are bad for the lawn besides the chinch bugs?
There's a bunch that could potentially cause problems, but they tend to be a little bit more rare. Sod webworms are one, and the name implies it's basically like a worm that kind of goes through and kills the grass. There's army worms. Those tend to be very rare, but army worms, I'll tell you a funny story about those. They're called that because they sort of march in a long line where you'll see grass dead, and they're sort of like a front edge to the dead area.
Huh.
And then you come back the next day and you look and that front edge is moved 4 or 5 feet. Because there's like an army of them just kind of marching along.
It's like an operation to kill the grass.
It's kind of crazy. And so they call them army worms. There was an infestation one time. I wasn't there for this, but I remember reading about it. And one of the professors at my old alma mater, Penn State, was called and said, how can we get these under control? We don't want to spray any pesticides. We'd like to avoid that if we can. And he came out and looked at the situation, and it was one of the worst armyworm outbreaks he had ever seen. And he thought about it for a minute, and then he looked over, and there was a couple of guys doing work on the road. They were doing repaving, and they had one of those giant rollers that you roll back and forth over the asphalt with.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he walked over to one of the guys, and he says, how much can I pay you to just roll back and forth on this lawn area here? And the guy said, $20. I don't remember what the number was.
Right.
But he's like, yeah, okay, come on. So he brings a roller up on the lawn area and literally just rolls back and forth over that front edge and just crushed them all.
Oh, wow. That's one way to get rid of them.
Oh, yeah. It was a fantastic idea. It just so happened the road work was going on right there. And the professor said, hey, you don't have to spray an insecticide. Just use this.
Just flatten them out. Yeah.
Now, most people don't have access to a highway pavement roller
exactly,
like that.
Yeah.
But if you did, that would be a great way to keep them under control.
Now, you said they're more rare around here or...
Yeah, I haven't seen an armyworm infestation in a really long time. So that's kind of one of those. There's a lot of unique problems that can occur on a lawn, insect disease that you just don't have to worry about because it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if it does happen, you just kind of deal with the fallout. You know, reseed. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, there's nothing you can really do about it.
Yeah.
What about spiders? So I've noticed a lot of spiders in our just the webs too that you can't even see, and you just walk by and there's just spider webs everywhere. But I imagine that those would kill some of the bugs, right?
Yeah. With very few exceptions, spiders are our friends.
Right.
Yeah.
They're helpful to the lawn.
They are helpful to the lawn. They are helpful to keep mites and other insects under control. Yeah. Do not, you know, spiders, you want them around. You don't necessarily want them crawling on your face, but you want them out there in the yard.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think of the giant hairy tarantulas and that sort of thing when you think of spiders.
Oh, yeah, or like a poisonous black widow.
You just want to get creeped out. No, spiders are good. We like spiders.
So beyond the insects, thinking about like just because you just reminded me of it when you started talking about the animals, but, you know, certain creatures that burrow. So like, can that be really bad for your lawn, too? Like, so whether it be, you know, because a lot of times you'll see holes in the in the dirt, whether it be a snake or something like that. Is there any way to prevent that? Or if you see it, is there something you can do about it or no?
I don't worry too much about those. Very rarely does it cause a problem on lawns, really. You'll just have that hole, which is a little bit annoying.
Right.
And a lot of times it's not even in use anymore, so you can kind of fill it back in again.
Yeah, so it's not going to kill the grass.
No, it's not going to kill the grass. It's fine. The only ones that can be a bit of a nuisance are moles, and the reason is that they form these tunnels just under the surface, and that pushes the grass up, and oftentimes, wherever the grass is pushed up, the roots are kind of separated from it, and it'll die off in that. So you'll get these weird long lines around the yard that are dying off.
Oh, that's interesting. It's almost like cartoonish. Like if you see in a cartoon, if you see a creature going underneath.
Exactly. Or we go back to the movie Caddyshack, where they saw a gopher running along. Remember, he was underground. He's pushing up the grass all around.
Yeah.
Gophers don't really do that, but moles do.
Right.
And they don't go quite as quick, but they move their way through. And moles will eat anything in the ground. They'll eat worms, they eat insects, they eat grubs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people seem to be under the mistaken impression that moles are there because there's grubs there. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this more times than I can count, where someone will call up and say, I've got moles in the yard, so you need to do a grub treatment. And because somebody posted it online, or maybe their brother-in-law told them that this is what the cause of moles is, there's grubs and the moles are eating the grubs. Well, yeah, moles do eat grubs. But the way I describe it is, okay, we could do a grub treatment, but that's a little bit like taking a large, long buffet and pulling the tray of broccoli out.
Okay. Right.
There's still plenty to eat.
Yeah,
nobody's
going to
be... It's not like all the people patronizing the buffet are going to suddenly get up and leave because the broccoli's gone. It's like, no, you just eat something else.
Yeah, exactly.
And so getting the grubs under control is really not about getting rid of moles. It's about keeping the lawn safe from the grubs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so moles can pose a little bit of a problem there. Luckily, they tend not to stick around in one place for too long. Mm-hmm. So I just recommend people sort of get a roller or kind of walk along the path where they made it, press it back down again, and eventually the mole will move on to another yard.
Right. Now, we've talked before about that you used to be in the golf course industry.
Oh, yeah.
I would think with a lot of these golf courses that are near the woods, there's going to be so many creatures and insects. So did you have to treat the course differently, you know, lawn-wise or turf-wise than you would a residential home?
Well, it was much more aggressive in terms of what we would do on a home, because on the golf course, you really can't tolerate almost any browning or dead patches,
that sort
of thing. So you had to be very proactive. By treating it with a lot of different insecticides and more often, and, you know, fungicides to keep diseases under control.
Because you can't afford to get some crazy disease and like a whole green gets ruined or a fairway or whatever.
Yeah, replanting a green, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Ugh.
So you just got to really keep on top of it to a crazy degree.
Yeah.
Replanting a lawn, we do not get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to replant a single lawn, let me tell you.
Right.
Be nice if we could, but I'm guessing most of our clients wouldn't be up for paying that much. Yeah. So yeah, obviously I learned a lot on my experience with golf courses, but one of the early lessons I learned is that you have to be really careful to know what you're trying to get under control. Mm-hmm. So for example, there was a product on the market for grub control, okay? And there's a certain type of grub that golf course superintendents are very wary of. It's called the Hyperodes weevil.
Oh.
Okay? It's also more colloquially? Yeah, is that a word? Is that the right word?
Yeah, sure.
Colloquially?
Go with it.
What is called the annual bluegrass weevil, and it's basically a grub that feeds on one very specific type of grass, annual bluegrass.
Yeah.
And golf courses tend to have a lot of annual bluegrass. It's not their favorite thing, but it tends to do well under short mowing conditions. And you're always mowing so short, it does well.
Right.
But the Hyperodes weevils would lay the eggs. Those would hatch, become the grubs, would feed on this, and cause all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
Well, there was a grub control insecticide that was on the market. And I remember working at a course where they treated the place, and it was supposedly going to control these, and it just gave us no control whatsoever. And they just destroyed whole areas.
Oh, no.
And we had the company come out and investigate, and they confirmed that, yeah, this is, it didn't work at all. And it works great for Japanese beetle grubs, for black turf grassitaneous. I'm going to go, I'll, you know, annoy the heck out of you if you gave all the different beetle species out there that lay grubs. But for some reason, the Hyperodes weevil was totally immune to it.
Wow.
And so really understanding what you're going for is critical in terms of knowing what to put down and whether or not it's going to work. And these products, you know, it's not like the old days where you spray an insecticide and like literally everything in the soil died.
Right.
Okay. These are really highly technical focused, and they're only getting more so as time goes on.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sure.
Which is great, by the way. It's a wonderful thing. You're not killing off non-target organisms.
Right.
And so I think that's probably the biggest lesson I learned while I was there is just really know what you're going after and really make sure that the product is going to solve that one problem. And don't just think, hey, this is an insecticide and that's an insect, I'm going to spray it, because it might not work.
It makes it that much more impressive when you play a really nice golf course. So like, so the next time I'm playing a course that's really nice, I'll be like, wow, they've spent a lot of time trying to whether get these insects out of here or get this grass looking good. Or it really puts it into perspective when you're seeing that on the course.
Absolutely, yeah. And even identifying the problems, I still remember this was a great experience. I was out there on the crew. I was like 17, 18 years old, and we had this older guy on the crew named Lonnie. Okay. Yeah. I'm imagining Lonnie's not with us anymore because he would have been in his 70s at that time, and this was about 30 years ago. So
yeah.
But he was just a really fascinating guy, and he had been working on the maintenance crew of that golf course since he was a teenager.
Wow.
Okay. His father actually helped to build the course, and he would tell these stories about how they used to mow the fairways by pulling mowers behind horses.
Yeah.
Like, this is how they did it.
You know?
So he had been there all the way along the way.
Wow.
I've never seen someone who can operate equipment better, who understands things better. He had no formal education.
Yeah.
He's just somebody who, like,
he's just been around it his whole life. Yeah.
Just been around it his whole life. And I remember the superintendent, there was areas on the bunker banks, which is basically the grass right next to the sand bunkers. Mm-hmm. Okay, that were really browning out. And the superintendent was getting really annoyed. Like, why, you know, thinking that the sprinklers weren't hitting it right, or whatever. And then Lonnie heard him complaining about it at one point in time, walked over, got down on his hands and knees, looked in there and said, oh, yeah, no, there's chinch bugs here. And the superintendent felt just like such a, like, you know, he loved Lonnie. So he was really excited that Lonnie figured this out. But at the same time, he just kind of shook his own head and goes, man, nothing beats that kind of experience.
Yeah, he just knew right away. So here we are in June, and I've had two applications put down from Teed and Brown on my lawn. So the third application is coming up. Now, how is the third application different from the first couple?
Well, the first two were mainly about feeding it and preventing crabgrass coming up. Okay. And then also getting rid of the weeds that were coming in.
Right.
And we also put down something down on the early side to prevent grubs. It's a really great preventative product. So now what we're doing is more of a maintenance mode. We're not trying to build. We're not trying to go too crazy about getting things whipped into shape.
Yeah.
We're going into sort of protection mode.
Okay.
And what that means is the insect critters that we've talked about are going to be a problem. So we're putting something down to keep those under control.
Oh, cool.
And that's really the main thing for the, and then while we're there, if there's weeds popping up, things like that, we'll go ahead and take care of those too.
Great. All right. Awesome. So we got a couple weeks left before I have my big cookout, which is going to happen right near the 4th of July weekend. And then the way my lawn's looking right now, it looks like it's going to be pretty good. So we're going to have, that's probably where we're going to record the last episode too. We're going to have in my backyard at my house, make some food. It's going to be a good time.
I can't wait to be recording myself with a rack of ribs right in front of me.
Yeah, there you go. And then on the next episode, which will be episode 6, we're going to get into, we haven't really talked a lot about this with Teed and Brown, but the turf management industry, which I'm super interested in because, you know, we've talked about golf courses, we've talked about residential, but there's so many different branches of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll talk about sports turf, there's sod growing, there's seed production, there's, you know, just, I mean, could keep going on and on, but there's lots of different really interesting aspects, and getting them all kind of working together for the best results overall is really a fun project.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in episode 6. So, once again, Chris from Teed and Brown and myself, Kevin Begley, this has been the Making of a Lawn podcast. Thanks,
all right,
Chris.
See you in a few weeks.